Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You ready for the draft, Keith? 1 week away.
Of course I'm ready for the draft. I've been ready for the draft.
How about
7
that?
Days, 9 hours, 54 minutes, and 45 seconds from right now.
43.
Yep.
42.
Closer and closer.
41. We'll get to Mike Vrabel. Our confidence level in Vrabel. It's not going to be an easy pick at pick 4 since nobody can seem to agree on who's going to go there. But Greg Hill hanging out for a little bit here. What's going on, Greg?
I feel like I owe Rich a formal apology.
You owe Rich a formal
apology?
It's
unnecessary,
yes. Okay.
Yes. But continue. Yes. I foolishly attempted to step into the scoop game a couple days ago.
Sure.
And it has not come to fruition. So that is, I think everybody knows, that's kind of your lane.
Sure.
Bruins scoops. Right.
No other teams,
no other scoops
entities,
at all
no.
in Bruins sports, scoops. But just Bruins scoops. And so I felt like it was my obligation to apologize to you, and I will probably
No apology needed, Greg. Well, there's plenty of scoops for everybody. But it takes a big man to apologize.
You are the Cecil Scooper of WEEI.
Thank
and
you.
So I should not have stepped into that lane, and I will probably avoid that in the
funny. A little peek behind the curtain. On Monday, I came in for the crossover, and Greg mentioned this. And he's like, have you heard anything? And I was like, well, no. And then off the air, he's like, you haven't heard anything? I was like, no. He's like, I don't love that. Yeah, I was like, well, I don't know.
I'm feeling worse about
doesn't
this.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen.
No. Well, how about, I mean, is it possible there's still a resignation coming and you just, like,
maybe the day was
the
wrong.
The deadline was just,
maybe the day was wrong.
Perhaps shut the gun.
How long do you get? What's the runway on this?
I feel like anything happens in the next year, there's some sort of a change.
I agree.
The next year. Yeah. You have that year. Okay.
The resignation.
Maybe the timeline internally changed.
Right.
We don't know anything about
maybe
that.
Maybe you meant a Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's not this
right.
Wednesday. You have a lot of Wednesdays.
Yeah.
52 Wednesdays a year.
One in seven chance in the next 365 days.
It's a dumb move to try to step into your lane. And
it's no
so
it's not for everybody. I understand.
I will not try it again.
All good.
You are the Gary Scooper of WEEI, and
high praise.
And I will never veer into that lane again.
Fair enough.
I think when you hear whispers, you should let them fly. I think when you hear a lot of whispers over there.
I do hear whispers.
I don't hear any whispers.
I mean, I described them as whispers. I specifically said not a scoop.
Yeah, but multiple whispers is almost a scoop.
I hear other people on other radio stations calling me out. I mean, I didn't realize they were going to be talking about me on other stations.
You open your mouth, people are going to use it against you.
Man. I mean, why? You say something and then they talk about you on their station and then other people.
Sometimes that's like, frowned upon at other, but I do know sometimes that's not always looked on fondly.
That would be dumb for me to say something that they would talk about and then that like their listeners might come and listen to us or something like
that.
I don't understand why they would do that.
I don't know.
But anyway, I am.
Thank you, Greg.
Full apology.
No problem.
And did I hear you have Field Yates on?
Yes,
today.
Field Yates in 20 minutes. Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. Good draft talk.
If you could maybe to ask him about Abdul Carter and the sudden emergence of talk about his attitude, or how you might describe that, because have you heard anything at all in his?
So he had one incident last year where he like ripped a tow truck driver out of the tow truck and kind of held him down and didn't let him get up. So there is that.
Okay. There's that.
There's a guy who's 20 years old, tow truck driver. I don't know. There's two sides to every story.
I mean, but who hasn't done that? Like,
right.
You have to go to the tow place and pay for your car, and they get the boot on it. And I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's not going to be your finest moment.
Just that one incident, that's really the only one.
No, that's all I can think of.
I think the questions about, like, football character came from Bob McGinn, does these draft capsules. And I think there were, like, some unnamed scouts, which those they always have motivations. You're trying to get a player to drop, or you're whatever, trying to get somebody to trade up or down or out of a spot. And so I think some of the football character stuff came from there. But we'll ask Field about that.
Okay. All right. I'll be listening.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay. Oh, did I hear – I don't like to talk about things that aren't –
solid. What else you hear? You got another whisper?
Did I hear that we may extend one of the road shows?
That is the story.
There is a whisper campaign about that. Yes, that's a whisper.
Till 2 o'clock in the
Scooper
afternoon.
Scooper whisper. I've heard this.
Okay. Yes, yes,
so
yes.
It would be like us in the morning, then you guys.
Yes, correct.
The Greg Hill Road Show featuring Jones and Keefe.
Okay, all right.
For one day and one day only.
Okay, I can't wait. All right.
Very good. Thank you, Greg.
Good show.
Thank you. Very good.
Yeah, I think the Whisper campaign could be Newport is that the Whisper
be.
Campaign on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So stick around.
Not Newport.
Your
Vermont.
Breakfast could turn into a brunch, could turn into a lunch. How do you like that?
Yeah.
That's how we should sell it.
Liquid lunch.
Well, for me. Always.
Okay, beautiful.
Actually, that's a problem I have, but that's a separate thing altogether.
Well, good stuff by Greg. I think unnecessary apology.
Like I said, unnecessary.
We were rooting for it very, very hard. I think
plenty of scoops out there.
If it happens before the press conference next week, I'm going to – Greg doesn't need to take credit for it, but I will give Greg credit for the scoop.
Yeah.
If it happens by next week.
See, I think –
there's a lag period on it.
So that's the tricky part. If you put a specific day on it.
Yeah. If you're just like somebody's resigning.
Okay. TBD.
Yeah.
And you just got to wait it out. You got like all offseason for that.
Right.
But no, that you went too specific because you didn't say who was resigning. So that was a good kind of like blanket.
Sure.
But then you went Wednesday. Well, Wednesday's come and gone. So that is.
Should I just move in on this?
Do you want to take over and just be like, it's coming? Like,
somebody's resigning.
At some point.
And it's happening.
All right.
TBD.
Fair.
Okay. If you have thoughts on that, you can jump in. 617-779-7937, your phone number here on Jones and Keefe all day long. It is a rare guest jam-packed program today.
Guest city.
As you heard, Field Yates at 10:30. We set this up a week or so ago. Brad Foe is on every Thursday at 11:30, so his regularly scheduled time at 11:30. And then we had to move Terp from yesterday to today. He was standing around waiting for Jaylen Brown yesterday. Jaylen Brown never spoke.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Huh?
Yeah, we'll have to get Terp's take on that, but I don't love
interesting.
That.
Interesting. Yeah. Jaylen Brown scheduled to speak, never spoke. All kinds of questions about his name.
Boy.
So we'll get to that. Pure Hoops with Terp on a Thursday at high noon. A lot of guests on the show today. We'll get to Field Yates again about 20 minutes from now. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram. You can still vote in yesterday's Hate It or Love It. Will Campbell, not a popular pick at 4.
Wow.
That's Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We'll get you another Hate It or Love It pick at 11:45. Today it's going to be Ashton Gentry, running back out of Boise State. You can watch along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, and chat. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And on YouTube, you can watch there. Just subscribe to WEEI. So we played Mike Vrabel off the top, Keefe.
Yeah.
And the further we go along, the more realistic it is. You know, all the draft odds, which are not gospel, but the draft odds would lead you to believe that Cam Ward is going one.
Yeah.
Overwhelming favorite. On DraftKings, he's minus 20,000.
All right, so real... What, 20,000?
I mean, unless I'm misreading, I believe it's minus 20,000.
So we always talk about, like,
is the story
why is it even on the board?
Let me fact check it. Well, all you can do
That's like Buster Douglas numbers. This guy's minus 20,000? Because that was going to be my first question is, like, everybody is assuming he goes number one.
Uh-huh.
Like, is there any chance that he doesn't? And then, like, what kind of scramble mode does every team go in?
I thought, yeah, is that a typo?
It seems like.
Is that minus 2,000?
So
it's
he's, like, as likely as.
Minus 20,000.
So that was, like, Trevor Lawrence, probably. Or, like, some of these guys. Remember some of these guys years ago, word got out that they signed their contract even, like, before the draft?
Yeah.
Was it Jake Long? Or, like, one of those guys. Like, yeah, the deal's already done. Like, he's literally already signed the deal.
I think I had with Mario Williams one year. And I was like, wait, Reggie Bush isn't going
right
with the first pick? That's crazy.
All right, so that seems like a done deal.
Okay, minus 20K for Cam Ward. It's minus 350 for Hunter to go two.
Man, that's pretty heavy favorite for that.
And it's minus 300 for Abdul Carter to go third.
Even with all the character concerns.
So, look, again, these are not airtight. It's not a lock. But right now I would say that's probably the most... realistic. By the way, Will Campbell is minus 225 to go four. So if you're playing the odds, that's kind of where things are going. When I ask about Vrabel, though, and your confidence level in Vrabel, it's twofold. Number one, I don't think this is an easy pick. Drake May last year was a pretty easy pick. That was not uniform. I think you liked Harrison, right? Some people like Joe Alt. Like, there was some conversation about it, around it, but to me, I thought Drake May was a fairly straightforward, easy pick.
Yes.
At three. If Jaden Daniels goes two, you take May. If May goes two, you take Daniels. I thought that was simple. This year is not easy. It's not simple. There's no consensus on who the fourth pick will be. The odds are it's going to be Will Campbell, but I like Ashton Jeanty. If Carter and Hunter are gone, who do you like at four? You like Campbell?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably where most people wind up, but Curran's been big on Tyler Warren. Some people prefer Membu to Will Campbell. Jalen Walker is in the mix. You hear Giardi kind of beating the drum for that.
Yeah.
Mason Graham's name has been out there.
Like, to me, so we're doing our love-hate all week, right? And so there's the two guys that I love. And then after that, I like Campbell, so I would be happy with that pick. I like the idea, though, very much of Jeanty and Warren. I could talk myself very quickly into that. On the love-hate scale, I would love both because you're getting some offense in there. And, yeah, they still need somebody to protect them on the left side, and that's where you're really hoping that they trade back into the first round and grab somebody there that they think can start. Going back to Vrabel's comments about, hey, there are starters in the draft. Well, maybe you can get one of those guys and then a truly dynamic player at four, because if you end up taking a player at four, that guy better start. And we're talking, projecting future Pro Bowls. Like, that's what you want that high in the draft. And so Campbell, I would still take. Any of the defensive guys not named Abdul Carter is where you start to lose me, because there is a handful of good offensive players, potentially great offensive players, and then you're just tripling down on defense, which is where you've spent all of your time in free agency.
So I only make that point to illustrate that it's not a slam dunk at four. It's not a no-brainer. So you're going to need somebody to look at this, and somebody you have faith in, somebody you trust, somebody who you have a high level of confidence in to get it right. And we all think Vrabel's the guy. I know he danced around it with the answer about the final say the other day when Volan asked him, hey, you're here, you're talking. Is that reflective of you having final say? He danced around it, but we all believe it. So I was looking at Mike Vrabel's drafts in Tennessee. And Keith, you've pointed this out before. This is imperfect. Vrabel was not in charge of personnel. In fact, he warred with John Robinson over personnel, stamped his feet when A.J. Brown got traded. He didn't want to trade A.J. Brown, but he was the head coach in Tennessee. And here's how their drafts went. We can all decide to assign blame or not assign blame. Here's how their drafts went. His final draft is part of why he's out in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Peter Skoronski, the maybe guard, maybe tackle, who they took at pick 11 in the first round, was their first round pick that year. Then Will Levis, Tyjae Spears, who's an okay rotational running back. We all think Will Levis sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Skoronski was not a tackle, and he's not a very good guard. So that was his last year. 2022, to replace A.J. Brown. And again, maybe there's more John Robinson than Vrabel, but Vrabel was there.
Yeah.
Treylon Burks? Woof.
Yeah, no.
Roger McCreary is a corner. Nicholas Petit-Frere?
Who?
Is a tackle.
Petit? You don't want it. It's the NFL. You don't want that.
And Malik Willis, another quarterback.
Cut.
I was going to say, so Malik Willis is another quarterback who's already on to Green Bay. Okay? And Petit-Frere, you're saying, has gotten cut?
I think so.
Okay.
Perhaps this is too much of a defense of Mike Vrabel, but I put out that on the GMs. I feel like they fired all their GMs along the way.
True, but
and he clearly
does. He get no blame though. You're the head coach. You get no say in any of these players.
It doesn't feel like he had any say with A.J. Brown.
Okay, so, I agree with that.
I'm also not giving him credit for drafting A.J. Brown.
Sure,
we know he didn't want to trade him away. I can't imagine they were then like, hey, we traded him away, which was our decision, but it's now your decision to replace him, and then he landed on Treylon Burks. I think Robinson was just a bad drafter for all these times. So that's my hope. My hope is Vrabel had his mind made up on certain guys that he liked, and maybe there was some overlap, maybe there wasn't, but now he has way more control. John Robinson had way more roster control than Elliot Wolf or anybody else on the Patriots staff now.
Let me keep going to hammer home the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Caleb Farley was their first round pick in 2021. I think he was out of football briefly. He was back and played in Carolina.
Do you have the number? Was he like 18? He was like
22.
Oh, okay. 22.
Dylan Raddins was a free agent this year. College tackle who I thought played some guard in the NFL. Uh-huh. Monty Rice, Elijah Molden. Like, these are nobodies.
It's like the Patriots drafts over the last 5 years.
Isaiah Wilson was a first round pick on the offensive line again. In 2020, Christian Fulton, Darrington Evans was a running back. You got to go back to 2019.
Yeah.
When they drafted Jeffrey Simmons in the first round, A.J. Brown in the second round, for Mike Vrabel, a Mike Vrabel coach team to draft well. And again, we can either give him credit, not give him credit. You can say he had no say. Fine.
The year prior, his first year as the coach, they got Harold Landry in the second round, who's at least been to a Pro Bowl.
And he's back on the team.
So what I would say is, at best, when it comes to Vrabel, you don't know.
Yes.
The jury's out. You have you can't say you have a high degree of confidence in Vrabel.
That's my take.
He was part of a bunch of terrible drafts at the end of his tenure in Tennessee. How much blame do we give him? I don't know. It's hard to sit here and say you have a lot of confidence in Vrabel and his ability to manipulate the draft and nail the pick at four. I think that's borderline impossible to say.
Can't.
Right. No, that's why I would take those and say that's more on the GM down in Tennessee, and that's why we are in an unknown. The one thing we do know is it's not Elliott Wolf, which is a positive sign for me.
That's
Elliott Wolf did have a draft.
It's hard to do worse than that. True.
The only thing he can do is draft quarterbacks, and then they traded one of them away. So everybody else has been brutal. And not just bad drafts, but we keep hammering this point home. He wanted a receiver and specifically traded out of the spot that Ladd McConkey was drafted. So he traded out from that guy who's all pro his first year, and then you get, you know, Polk and Baker. So I think it is an unknown. That's why, like, my confidence level in Vrabel drafting is, I don't know, it's higher than Wolf, but it's also because we don't really know what it is.
But again,
there's not a lot of bad drafting, but there's also no good drafting either.
It's not just drafting. It's getting the fourth pick right in this draft.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you move down for less than you would normally do? Since it sounds like the reports are, and this can always change. We'll ask Field Yates about it coming up. But the reports indicate that no one's really looking to move up. So will Vrabel move down and, like, not take a full haul by moving down? Will he stand pat at pick number four and get kind of stuck there? Does he make the right pick? Vrabel's calling the shots. Even I've bent the knee on this one, and I acknowledge. You don't have to worry about Elliott Wolf. It's Mike Vrabel and his henchman there, Ryan Cowden. Stretch, his crew,
Stretch,
are in there. They're making the pick. So do you have confidence in Vrabel getting it right in this draft, in this spot? And it's hard to look at his time in Tennessee, assign the blame however you want, and have any confidence in his ability to draft. At best, it's a complete unknown. And at worst, he was a part of some bad, bad drafts that got them all fired in Tennessee. 617-779-7937. We have a lot for you on the show today. As we said, Pure Hoops with Terp on a Thursday.
Woo!
At high noon. We'll get the latest on Jaylen Brown. We'll get the latest on the Red Sox as well with Rob Bradford a little over an hour from now. He joins us every Thursday at 11:30. And coming up next, Field Yates of ESPN going to give us all the intel on the Patriots pick at four, what he's hearing about the top prospects in this draft, Patriots' ability to move around, Mike Vrabel, and what he's hearing there.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll talk some Red Sox with Rob Bradford. Joins us every Thursday at 11:30. Coming up 1 hour from now, we got Pure Hoops with Terp on a Thursday at high noon, rescheduled because Jaylen Brown's supposed to speak yesterday and then did not.
They don't love that.
What's going on?
What are you hiding?
Meanwhile, we'll talk to Field Yates of ESPN here momentarily. We'll do the final position of our draft preview series, Keith. We have safeties today at 10:45, about 15 minutes from now. Then we'll start working on the players we like the most, the players we dislike the most, and also some of our top targets for the Pats. Hate it or love it continues at 11:45. It'll be Ashton Jeanty today. You can still vote at Jones and Keith on Twitter and Instagram in yesterday's Hate It or Love It. Will Campbell, got to tell you, the fans at four, early returns would hate it. So for more on all of this, we welcome in on WEEI Field Yates of ESPN joining us here on Jones and Keith. Field, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are. We're looking over some of the work you put out recently, your draft coverage throughout the months and days leading up to the draft. A couple of days ago, you and Mel Kiper traded off picks. 1, 2, 3, 4, you'd take turns. Kiper had the Patriots pick at four. But let's give you the same scenario. He went with Will Campbell at four. Ward's gone. Hunter's gone. Carter's gone. Patriots are on the clock. He went Will Campbell. Who would you go with?
Yeah, I'm going Will Campbell as well. And I understand that probably your guys' show has focused as much on Will Campbell as maybe any prospect not named Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. during this pre-draft process. You know, and I understand why he can be a lightning rod for some, because of the fact that drafting a tackle who has 32 5/8 inch or 33-inch arms would make him an outlier relative to NFL left tackle standards. You know, guys, I think I've just consistently seen Will a little bit differently throughout the process. You know, Mel and I have at times gone back and forth on whether he would do the same thing that I would. But I think the way that I look at the arm length dilemma for a player is I start by, how does the tape look? How does it look against the top competition that you can see at the college football level? And while it's not the NFL, obviously, the SEC is as close as you'll get to an NFL representation at the college football level. And no prospect is perfect. But on the rare, and I do mean rare occasion, that Will Campbell looked vulnerable at the collegiate level, I didn't think very often the root of that issue was his arm length. I don't see guys consistently getting into the chest of Will Campbell, which is one of the primary concerns you have about an offensive tackle who lacks premier length. Our defensive end is just saying, hey, we're going to get our hands on you first, and no matter how good your footwork is or no matter how strong your base is, we're just going to find a way to work our way through or around you. I didn't see that with Will. He's one of the cleanest prospects in the entire class, truly. On top of the fact that he plays a premium position that the Patriots really need, super battle-tested, and he's an off-the-charts kid. I think if we sort of followed what Mike Vrabel has been preaching throughout the few times he has spoken since becoming the Patriots head coach, maybe a handful of times now, every trait that he has mentioned, I would say, aligns with what Will Campbell brings to the table. So maybe others wouldn't be enthused by it, but if I'm the Patriots and Will Campbell's the pick at number four, I'm actually feeling pretty darn good, especially in the context of this draft class, which is very different than last year, where blue chippers were all over the place in the first 12 to 15 picks, and then the depth really fell off. This year, there's just not nearly as many superstar blue chip caliber players, but there's a lot of guys in rounds 3 to 5 that will probably make your roster and compete early on in their careers.
Is the gap between Will Campbell and the next offensive lineman as big as, say, Ashton Gentry and the next running back, or Ty Warren and the next tight end, and some of those other top end players?
I think the biggest gap from player one to player two at the positions that you just asked is, for me, is clearly running back. I think Ashton Gentry, and we can debate whether running backs are even worth taking that early in the draft. But if you're just asking me in the context of, like, how many spots on the big board do I have to move down before I get to RB2 relative to offensive tackle 2 or tight end 2? It's clearly running back. I've got Amarian Hampton out of North Carolina as 26th overall on my board. So I think he's going to go somewhere in the first round. To me, any sooner than pick 20 or so would be a little bit of a rich spot for him to land. But I think, given the fact that teams from 20 to 32 probably feel like they can be the equivalent of what Philadelphia and Baltimore and Green Bay were last year, where they were very good teams where a running back puts them over the top, as opposed to a struggling team where a very good running back just helps them be more entertaining on Sundays. So I think 20 to 32 is a range for Amarian Hampton, but I feel like Gentry is in a whole different stratosphere of player. This guy he's unbelievable. I mean, I think he has the clearest path to becoming a Pro Bowler as a rookie, and that's independent of where he lands as an NFL player. Like, he could go to the Raiders at 6, he could go to the Bears at 10, he can go to the Saints at 9, and I'd like his odds, because he's that special of a player, and you know, you would imagine that whoever drafts him very high is going to be motivated to lean on Ashton Gentry a lot, since we know that A, running backs assimilate to the NFL a whole lot easier, and B, they don't often last that long relative to other positions, so you might as well get maximum value early.
So you mentioned your big board and the gap at running back. Mason Graham to Membu is 3 to 8. At tight end, you have Warren at 7 and Loveland at 11. So those are much tighter. You can see Field Yates' full big board. He tweeted it out today, at Field Yates on Twitter. You have Abdul Carter, too. It's interesting. Here in New England, we spent a lot of time talking about, could he fall to 4? It feels like Travis Hunter is more of a pipe dream there. There are some whispers. I think Bob McGinn at least started this. I'm curious to hear what you've heard on Abdul Carter and questions about his football character. Is that a concern for you on any level? Work ethic, the way he practices, his love for the game, et cetera, that sort of thing. Is that a concern with Abdul Carter?
It's not for me to the point that I would bypass him at number 4 if he gets there for New England. I'd say that much. I haven't ruled out Abdul Carter at number 2 to Cleveland. I think they're a lot of momentum for Travis Hunter, but I don't think that it's a complete done deal. I sort of feel like the only thing that's a done deal right now in the draft is Cam Ward going number one overall to Tennessee. But no, I don't do that. That's not the information I've received on Abdul Carter. And I mean, it didn't seem to prevent him from being an incredible player these past couple of seasons, three seasons at Penn State, two of which he was playing in a variety of different spots. Last year, he played primarily as an edge rusher, had those 12 sacks. And I mean, listen, I guess this is the time of the year that we hear this kind of stuff more often, but a guy who probably could have sat out last season, or maybe like sat out half the season after he had showed what he was as an edge rusher, also played through a pretty serious shoulder injury late in the year when he didn't necessarily have to, right? And we see guys tap out of bowl games and tap out of late portions of the season all the time. And Abdul Carter kept going for Penn State. I think that speaks to the person that he is and speaks to the person that or the kind of player that he is. And he's an unbelievable player too. Like, the Patriots have obviously invested a lot on defense already this offseason, and there's a glaring left tackle need that must be addressed at some point, wide receiver as well. But if Travis Hunter goes two to the Browns and Shador Sanders goes three to the Giants, if I'm the Patriots, I'm doing the metaphorical sprint the card into the commissioner and take Abdul Carter right away.
Well, Phil, you mentioned Shador Sanders, and it feels like from mock draft to mock draft, looking at everybody, there's no real true consensus on where Sanders could go. As a Patriots fan, all we're hoping is he goes two or three. Right now, with a week to go before the draft, what kind of likelihood would you give that Sanders is a top three pick?
I think it's possible. I really do. And I think that there have been some people that have been saying, hey, this late quarterback workout for Shador Sanders and then Tyler Shuck and Jalen Milroe is part and parcel for the quarterback evaluation. And that, I think, has been true in some occasions in the past. I just think it also speaks to the idea that this team is still trying to figure this out, right? And I frankly, maybe I should, but I can't recall. Maybe you guys do offhand. Like, last year around this time, did you guys recall, hey, the Patriots are down in North Carolina working out Drake May or LSU working out Jaden Daniels to see whichever of those two falls, whether they be like truly enamored by the player? It sounds like the Giants are still sort of doing some information gathering. And I get it. This might just be posturing and they might be trying to create the perception to generate some sort of leverage. I'm just not so sure what kind of leverage they have, because I'm not sure that any team is going to move up to try to get Shador Sanders either ahead of number three or at number three to trade away from the Giants. So I think it's possible. You know, I fear that assigning like probabilities to draft happenings probably ends up providing a lot less value than it does like substance. But I don't know if it's 50-50. I'd probably lean more towards them not taking Shador Sanders at number three. But a week ago, I would have told you, hey, it's just going to be Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, whichever falls there. I feel that it's more likely they take Shador Sanders at third overall compared to where I was at this time last week.
Field Yates, ESPN. You can check out his big board, top 200 prospects at ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Field Yates. You highlighted earlier this week teams that could move up or down in the draft. You put the Patriots in their own category as a team that could trade up or down. I'm assuming you mean down from four, up from 38. The whole climate in this draft you hear is that no one's really looking to move up, at least early. Is that the kind of thing the Patriots could capitalize on at 38? Maybe they get stuck at four because no one's looking to move up. But if no one's looking to move up later on, could they really capitalize and get a good deal to move up from 38 to, I don't know, the mid to early 20s?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, is a couple of teams to earmark, the Vikings and the Commanders, who are at 24 and 29 respectively, and they have a combined 9 picks in this draft. So they're very bereft of draft capital right now because of various trades that they have made. And I mentioned earlier how, the meat of this draft is, I would say, call it like players 65 or 70 to like 125 or 150. My top 200 that I dropped this morning on ESPN.com, I'm telling you guys, like every time I've opened the document back up and I've just sort of scanned through, I'll be there at 140 and I'll say, like, how is that guy 140 when I'm not even sure he's better than 110? And then I go back and I look at 110 and I think that guy's better than 85. It's kind of a pretzel in the middle of the draft because it is so much of beauty in the eye of the beholder. But for the Patriots, when you do have such obvious needs right now, and you have this aggressive mentality that has sort of prevailed all off season, maybe you do take advantage of it where, you know, at the back end of the first round, if one of these offensive tackles is still there, you know, the Commanders are not a team that needs a left tackle. The Vikings aren't a team that needs a left tackle. They might be motivated to move down to pick up some extra draft capital and turn their 9 combined picks into 10, 11, or 12, right? So if I'm the Patriots, you know, seeing how this team has attacked the offseason, the aggressive spending in free agency, the eventual acquisition of Stephon Diggs, which also in free agency, but it was, you know, an offer that, you know, to my knowledge, it was at least it has been publicly, no other offer has been publicly reported that Stephon Diggs received this offseason. So it feels like the Patriots' mindset is, hey, whatever it takes to get something done, get it done. And, I, you know, the Patriots have a lot of work to do, and the Bills are so clearly the best team in the division by, I think, a notable gap. But right now, if I'm the Patriots, I'm looking at this division and saying, I can leapfrog to the second-best team in the division if some of our stuff goes right. Drake May makes the step I think many people anticipate him to make, and then Mike Vrabel has the impact that I think he's expected to make based off of his head coaching history. So the idea of moving up from 38 to late in round one to me is something that, from the Patriots, is very intriguing if the board falls in a specific way.
All right, for the Patriots in round one, what would be your best-case scenario and what would be your worst-case scenario?
Best case scenario would probably be one of Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter falling to 4. And yeah, I think, you know, they're really picking 3, right? So it's really because the Titans, Cam Ward, that's done. And the Patriots obviously would not be in a quarterback market. I guess the only other, I've in my own brain kind of landed on the Patriots taking one of Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, and Will Campbell. That's where I have landed. It's not that I have their draft board. I'm just using my own sort of instincts and the positional need and where I have these players rated. So the number of outcomes I've considered is pretty low. It's 2 kind of. So I guess by default, that makes worst case scenario not one of those guys being available. But, you know, Will Campbell's the 5th player on my board. Like, I don't feel like this is some, you know, catastrophic, that would be some sort of catastrophic event or reality for the Patriots if that's how things fall. Like, it's a huge need for the Patriots, and I think it's a darn good player. So, you know, the worst case scenario, I think, is probably, you know, winning that game in week 18 where you're in this setup just in the first place, right? But, you know, that's long behind us. And I don't think that within the construct of where they are and what I think is likely to happen, there's some terrible outcome here.
All right. Okay. Field Yates, excellent stuff. You can check out his latest ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Field Yates. And if you're on the South Shore in the vicinity of Vitamin C Brewing in Weymouth, the draft party tonight, it's a Pats pre-draft chat and beer. Fitzy's going to be there along with Doug Kide and Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald. All proceeds for the event go to Doug Kide's Leukemia and Lymphoma Society fundraiser in memory of his daughter, Haley. And one of the things you can bid on is 30 minutes of fantasy football advice from Field Yates, which I think is pretty ideal and a pretty good package. So it's a great cause if you're on the South Shore tonight. Field, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, Field Yates from ESPN. I think that's interesting. The Patriots are effectively drafting at 3, one way to think about it.
Yeah.
Cam Ward's gone. They weren't in the market for a quarterback anyway. And he looks at it as it's Hunter, it's Carter, or it's Campbell. And that's just his own deduction.
Do you feel a little bit better about Campbell after talking to the field?
No, I feel exactly the same. Well, but he would pass on his own board to take Will Campbell. He had Mason Graham 3.
Right.
He had Ashton Jeanty 4.
Because it is so close.
It is close, but that is an acknowledgement that you're not sticking to your board and you are going for need.
Yeah.
But some of the training stuff is very interesting as well.
So to me, and you know, I guess he didn't want to go there, but worst case, if you have the same big board as Field does, for example, worst case would be you try to get cute and you trade down to gain extra picks.
Miss out.
And then all those guys that you like get snapped up between, let's say, 4 and 9. Even if you stay in the top 10, if you miss out on Campbell or you even miss out on Graham, who he likes quite a bit, then you're like, great, we have an extra pick, but we don't get one of the top guys.
We didn't get one of the guys we wanted, which is the, quite the conundrum for the Patriots at pick 4. Do you trust Mike Vrabel to big brain the thing? 617-779-7937. If you missed any of Field Yates, it'll be on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. We'll get that up on YouTube as well shortly. Just subscribe to WEEI. We got Rob Bradford and some Red Sox talk on the way at 11:30. Coming up next, draft preview series concludes with the safeties. That's next.
Who are this year's sleepers, blue chippers, and busts?
With the fourth pick, the New England Patriots select.
Find out with Jones and Keefe's draft preview.
Final positional group in the draft preview series. Safeties today for the Patriots. I think a sneaky big need for the Pats. Not sure. A four. But at some point. I think early on in this draft, I could see them taking a safety. We've done all the various positional groups, all the offensive ones, the last one on defense. Odyssey app, check those out. You can see them on YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. While you're there, you can also give Field Yates a listen from ESPN. He was kind enough to join us and gave us some great insight on the NFL draft, which is a week from today in Green Bay. WEEI afternoons will be there. For safeties, Keith, the top safeties in the draft. Malachi Starks out of Georgia, the consensus number one overall prospect on what's been a tremendous defense when it comes to guys going to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the only candidate to go in the first round, though. The next guy, Nick Emenwori, out of South Carolina, in the mix as well. Tested very, very well at the combine. Big guy, fast, athletic. So he started to rise up draft boards. You have Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. Kevin Winston Jr., one of two safeties out of Penn State. And Andrew Makuba from Texas, transferred from Clemson. Hugely productive year last year for the Longhorns on their run through the college football playoff. Who do you like in that group, Keith?
I mean, I like Malachi Starks. I know it's kind of the chalk pick. He's the one probably, as you said, I don't know if it's guaranteed. Nothing's guaranteed because safeties are sort of the new running back. Teams don't draft safeties very high at all. The position isn't quite as important as it used to be. They've taken away a lot of the big hits. You know, you're going to more prioritize getting, finding, and paying your corners or your edge rushers on defense, certainly than your safeties. But I think he is the best of the bunch. And until there are multiple Georgia defensive players that turn out to be busts,
right,
I'll just default to highly rated Georgia defensive player. Pick him. He'll be good.
Not bad business at all. I like Nick Emenwori out of South Carolina. Now, he had a productive year on the field last year. Gamecocks were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Four picks a year ago. He's 6'3", 227, so good size at safety. And again, I think the Patriots sneaky kind of need a safety. I don't really like Duggar. Who knows how long Jabril Peppers is going to be here, and I think he's overrated as well. At worst, you need a younger developmental safety behind those two, and I think you could improve. He tested unbelievably well at the combine. How about a 4.38 40-yard dash at 6'3"?
Humming.
Okay, 43-inch vert, 11.6 broad jump, even 20 reps on the bench press. So he did incredibly well at the combine. Here's what I don't like. Lance Zierlein, who was on WEEI Afternoons, comped him to another guy who tested very well at the combine, Jeremy Chinn, who's been an NFL bust. But I would roll the dice on an athletic specimen who played in the SEC and was productive there.
Yep.
That would be the guy I like. Who don't you like? I'm sorry. Who do you like outside the top
five? Okay, so outside the top, I'm going to go with a Penn State safety that we didn't name, and that would be Jalen Reed. Pretty productive. How about this nugget? One of two power four safeties with at least three picks, two sacks, and a forced fumble. So like a play, if you're going to find a guy back there, give me somebody that's got sort of a nose for the ball, can create turnovers and things like that. Tested fine as far as, you know, speed and strength and things like that, but that'd be a guy that would be day two or three pick even. Like, so it'd be a later pick and maybe could, I think, certainly make the team. Maybe one of those guys that Field Yates was talking about where between rounds three and five, make the team and even contribute to the team. I think Jalen Reed might be one of those guys.
I didn't realize this is your guy. That's the guy I like outside the top five as well. It's a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a good frame on him as well. You know, not a small guy. When he checks in, 6'2", 11", as you said, tested pretty well, ran sub 4.5. And on top of that, Keith, I think the draft capital is about right. You said kind of a day three guy, maybe late on day two. Zierlein has him going in the fourth round. So I think if you're taking a developmental prospect, that's a good place to do it. Mm-hmm. I also like Jalen Reed. Who don't you like?
So I don't love the other Penn State in the top five that we had for safeties. Kevin Winston Jr. Now, he's coming off an ACL injury.
So
only played two games.
Is it injuries? Is that why?
So no, that's he really is sort of the opposite of the guy that I liked. I think he has one career interception, so not really all around the ball, and only played two games last year. Was good for him and had a bunch of tackles the year before. But I don't know if I'm drafting a safety. I'm not just looking for a guy that's just scooping up a bunch of tackles. So I would put him. He is coming off the ACL, but I feel like nowadays guys bounce back from that. I mean, Steph Diggs is coming off an ACL, and I'm hoping for a good year out of him. So that wouldn't be the reason why I wouldn't take him, but the lack of kind of, you know, interceptions, turnovers, that kind of thing.
So the guy I don't like, earmuffs back there, Nick, is Andrew Makuba out of Texas.
How dare you?
He's
this guy. He's incredible last year.
He had a very productive year last year. Five picks for Texas.
He had one pick in his career prior to that. At Clemson, he transferred in, so maybe scheme change, different fit, what have you. He's just a little small for me. He measured under 6 foot at the combine. You know, I think he was 185, something like that, 184. He's listed at Texas as 6'190". He measured in smaller at the combine. So
he's like 15-20 pounds lighter than all the guys we've named.
So he's just a little on the small side. That would be not a ton of production before last year, but whatever. Sometimes guys have great years. He changes programs. There's a reason for that. It's really more about the frame for him, why I wouldn't want him. So there you go. Draft preview series. Safety, the final position. We're going to give you our top targets tomorrow. We'll give you five guys we like next week. We'll give you five guys we don't like next week as well, all leading up to the draft on April 24th, 1 week from today. If you missed any of it, again, it's all available for you on the Odyssey app. We'll mix in some Red Sox thoughts with all your Patriots phone calls coming up next.